What's up? We are live. Welcome in, Cannabis Insider, episode 2 of the week, episode 5 million of the show. Who knows? I'm sure it's on Apple somewhere. I feel like it's episode 322 and a half or something like that. You got Javier Haas, Elliot Lane, here to bring you the coolest people in cannabis every single episode. We got some financial and advisory professionals with us today, just chatting about the industry and what they see as it compares to quote-unquote normalized industries. But first and foremost, we're always going to go through the news. But Aaron Thomas, get us started, man. Let's go. We are here, ready to go. Javi, what's up, man? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Now I'm just scrolling YouTube till the very end of our feed because I'm very curious to figure out when we first streamed our first show.
Dude, this was in reaction to COVID. We were like the first people to start some virtual content.
That was all you, by the way.
No, that was all Jason Raznick. That was our CEO's brainchild. A little history lesson for everybody watching. It was Jason, our CEO, and Patrick, who really was leading up the cannabis space for us back then, who started this. Jason immediately said, I don't have time for this. I don't want to do this. That's fine. So Javi and I started subbing in, and eventually Patrick was like, peace, I don't have time for this. This I can promise you.
This show.
Elliot and Javi have time.
July 16th, 2020.
July 16th, 2020. Told you. Reaction to COVID. Brian, what's up, man? Peace. How you doing? Thanks for dropping into the chat. Appreciate you. Javi, I know our news site's going through some troubles. If you want your news for the day, check out Benzinga's Cannabis Daily this morning. Had some good Canadian stock news for us today. Canada sales, Javi, up pretty significantly this month. Checking out new Cannabis Ventures article on them, up 2.6% sequentially. And the year-over-year revenue increase was up month over month as well. So I think they're up some 12.6 or 9 or something percent like that. Regardless, in between 12 and 13% up year over year for their monthly record of sales. So Canada, not looking terrible. I look at stocks to watch and I see BZAM, who reported their second quarter this morning, and Tilray, who announced two beverages that they announced, and both are down some 9% each. And I'm like,
well, they've been up.
BZAM has been up for a bit.
On the up and up and up and up.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, Canadian stocks are probably the most volatile today. SNDL also down. Maybe it was just SNDL and Tilray. That's right. BZAM
Tilray
wasn't down 9%.
36% in the last month. So,
yeah. Tilray's had they had a great quarterly earnings, dude. And their acquisition of which beverage company in Canada?
Like eight beer brands.
Yeah, eight beer brands, and then they acquired somebody in Canada. I mean, they're just going on the beverage side. Who knows? Maybe Boris Jordan will be right with what he said last year's Chicago event, that beverages will be 50% of the market.
Whew. I hope so.
Javi, what are you watching today, man? What's on your mind?
Slang's earnings, SLGWF. Slang Worldwide reported a revenue decline of 14.5% year over year for Q2.
I still like Slang between you and me. I still think Slang, I think they're doing that operationally efficient restructuring. They're in the midst of it right now. So that's not super surprising. Obviously, not a great number, but I do like their brand portfolio.
Here's what I do like. Remember on Tuesday, we were discussing gross margins and how every company was seeing a small decline in gross margins. Well, Slang is seeing the opposite, 9 percentage points up. They had a 43% gross margin in Q2 of 2022, and now they have a 52% gross margin, which I think is among the best in the industry.
That's solid. That's really solid. So, I mean, if they keep that up, we should see a turnaround relatively quickly in the next couple quarters.
Adjusted EBITDA is still negative. I'm not a big fan of that. Gross profit down.
They're not a huge company, though. Adjusted EBITDA for a company that's small could go either way, depending on how they're trying to grow. So they are expanding into some smaller states, right? I think, were they the one in Maine or New Hampshire, some northeastern state that they're, you know, putting their flag into? I don't know, but keep an eye on Slang. This could be a reversal to watch, a rebound.
And then I was watching a VEX Science today, VEXTF on the OTC. Better results a little bit. You know, Q2 revenue up 4% to $9.2 million. Nothing too big, but on very good gross profit of $2.7 million. Gross margins insanely down. They were at almost 70% last year. They're at 29% this year, this quarter.
I mean, Vexed again, another brand play, I think. They have some physical assets. They're looking at Ohio pretty strongly, which I think is a really high potential to be a very strong state if they go rec.
They're making money. Net income after taxes, $500,000, adjusted EBITDA, $1 million. It's down, but...
Yeah, their adjusted EBITDA was the worst part of their report. But that being said, it's still positive. So something to look at there. Brian, when is the last time Boris has been right? You know, it could play out that Boris is right on Germany if things go his way, because Curaleaf might get a really big boost from that.
Only time will tell, right? Many of these predictions are long-term, right? Saying, you know, what one might be wrong, you know, day over day, quarter over quarter, but maybe, you know, when you look at it over the longer run, I'm not saying Boris is right or wrong, but, you know, we have also made predictions like, you know, this industry will go up. Now, to me, the time frame is 5 years. The time frame for beverages is 10 years.
You know what my prediction is? That Javier is still going to be the best journalist in cannabis. Read all of his news at benzinga.com/cannabis. That's right. Brian, thank you so much. Keep writing in, man. Appreciate you. I hope Jamie's watching. She dropped some great one-liners on us in the chat on Tuesday. Oh, hot dog water. I'm not going to forget that. That was great. Hey, Javi, tell me a little bit about this Weed Maps and Freak Brothers partnership. What is this?
I love that. So you know, I mean, I'm sure that you know the Freak Brothers. It's a stoner comic series, and you know, it's been around for like 55 years or so. And yesterday they partnered up with Weed Maps, MAPS on the NASDAQ for season 2, and their idea is to further destigmatize and celebrate weed culture in a very mainstream environment.
Good partnership for Weed Maps. That's actually cool. Not gonna lie, didn't know much about the Freak Brothers. Just learned something, and I might go tune into that. Awesome. Yeah. All right, man. So we covered some stocks today. I think, you know, really, I think the Canadian stocks are going to continue to be the story of the rest of the week with S&DL, Tilray. Maybe see a bounce back tomorrow for some of those. Oh, but Skymet.
I mean, now I'm stuck with the Pete Brothers, the Freak Brothers, because I mean, if people don't know, this is an animated show. Now it launches an animated show 50 something years after it was originally released as a comic. And it is voiced by Pete Davidson, Woody Harrelson, Tiffany Haddish, like a bunch of very high-profile actors and actresses who have been very overtly pro-cannabis, cannabis lovers. We know Woody Harrelson has his own dispensary, actually his own brand, The Woods Consumption Lounge, amazing place in L.A.
If I make it to LA, I think that might be the first one I go to. And I want to go see the artistry. I'd like to go spend some time there.
Oh, yeah.
Javi, maybe we should do like a Benzinga to LA. Like Benzinga takes LA for a week.
Well, after MJBiz, maybe.
Would you all watch that content? Drop a one in the chat if you would care for that content. If Benzinga takes on a little bit of LA cannabis retail.
I mean, I had to go to LA after Vegas last year because the flight back home was $4,000 in economy from Vegas. So I drove with some friends to LA.
Ow.
And then,
oh my God, that hurt my soul.
For $900. Like,
did you say $4,000 from Vegas to Argentina?
Yes. And here's another one. I was getting my flight for the Chicago conference from Argentina, and I checked Delta. The cheapest flight in economy was $4,000. Premium economy is $11,000. And business is $26,000. Delta.
They better be serving you liquid freaking gold. That's insanity. I could buy, like, you could buy a few diamonds for that.
Five, to be precise. I checked last week. $5,000.
Diamonds, plane tickets. How many pre-rolls can you get for $11,000? Your guess, value pre-rolls, craft pre-rolls. Javier is actually going to answer this question. I mean, that's incredible.
Wholesale or retail prices?
Wholesale. No, no, retail. Retail. Who cares about wholesale? Retail.
I'd say about 3,000.
3,000 pre-rolls. You could get 3,000 fun evenings for the cost of one plane ticket from Vegas to Argentina.
That is if you're a heavy smoker. To me, a pre-roll.
You might as well just move to Vegas at that point. you're done. Just sell all your stuff in Argentina, put it on Facebook Marketplace, just stay in the Venetian for a few years.
Oh yeah. Well, what one more and let's get to our
let's do it. Yeah, I agree. Guests.
We're just like
we're going having off fun the over rails, here.
But you know, there's a very interesting article on Benzinga.com/cannabis for you to check out after this show. And it's all about Fellini, the director, and his LSD journey, how LSD inspired some of his best, most famous movies. Benzinga.com/cannabis.
Very cool. That's a cool story. I'm going to check that out too. All right. So y'all, without further ado, we're going to bring on our guest for the day. Please welcome Jeremy Sikarski from Armanino, partner over there. Let's bring him on over, Aaron Thomas. Jeremy, this is your chance to correct my pronunciation of your last name.
Perfectly good. Yes. Perfectly good.
Yes. Perfect.
Good to see you both today. And I think your math is spot on, Javier. You know, I think it's roughly about 3,000. And I about fell off my stool here in the office hearing the cost of Vegas to Argentina there.
I mean, God, you better get a T-bone cooked to your perfection.
I've got a lot of inappropriate analogies that I would throw in there, if, given that you're leaving Vegas, but we'll leave it with a T-bone.
Yes. Jeremy, appreciate you being with us, man. Give us a little sense of who you are. What do you do, man? Tell us about Armanino.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a partner with Armanino. We're a top 20 CPA and consulting firm working in the business advisory space. Got into cannabis about 6 years ago, which is an industry group that I helped to lead. I think one of the things that makes us unique in the market is really being full service. So we do both audit, tax, as well as consulting services for cannabis companies, where we work with a lot of competitors are out there that might do one or maybe two of those things. But really the wing-to-wing capability that we're going to bring to cannabis operators, as well as the investment community, really is unmatched. So the area that I focus on mainly is around technology as well as strategy. And a bit, as I mentioned, been in this space for 6 years and love to see how far it's come, and equally excited. You know, Javier, you were talking about the long game. You know, if you're looking at quarter over quarter results, certainly, you know, kind of current results have been a little painful and maybe not what we all want for the industry, but the long game continues to be incredibly exciting with more and more opportunities for adult use coming online here throughout the course of this year, next year, and who knows an election year coming next year, who knows what else is going to happen, especially up and down the Eastern Seaboard where we're seeing more and more activity.
Let me ask you something for clarification. Has Armanino been in the cannabis space for 6 years or you personally?
Both.
Okay. Why do you take that risk, right? Like a top 25 accounting firm, right? We haven't seen much of that, right? Especially 6 years ago. Like, why do you take that risk?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's perfect timing. I just hopped off of a monthly partner call, and our CEO, who's been with the firm 15 years, and has been leading us for 6 or 7 years as CEO. Prior to that, was COO. He will always say we are unapologetic about growth, and we're constantly looking for what we call weak signals in the market. So, what are those things that might be coming up that might turn into something rather significant in the future? We're incredibly impatient with status quo. You know, years ago, California was considering adult use. Colorado had just legalized. There was discussion in other states as well. And we said, hey, given our expertise in what I would call tangential industries, you know, things like consumer and packaged goods, food and beverage, et cetera. Hey, is it a logical move for us here? And what's our risk appetite? And so we went through a lengthy process to kind of look at it and say, hey, is this something that we ultimately believe we can do and be protected legally, working with our insurance carriers, et cetera, general counsel, outside counsel, et cetera, and then landed on, you know, yeah. And if we're going to go in, let's not dip our toe in. Let's dive straight into the deep end and figure out what this thing is going to look like. And more importantly, let's put our fingerprints on it. Let's help shape this industry. And we did that through bringing in some phenomenal experts to join the firm and building partnerships with software companies. Excited to be helping a lot of companies across really all aspects of their business.
All right, let's dive into this a little bit of the tech side, right? So what type of technology goes into what you all do?
Yeah.
Just on an operational standpoint, then I'd like to ask you a little bit about technology, broadly speaking, in cannabis.
Yeah, absolutely. So from a technology perspective, we focus on the office of the CFO. So it's a lot of the back end components that that are going to help make your business work and work efficiently. And we always joke that this office of the CFO is kind of like, there's the badge of pride that a CFO will wear. It's kind of like the cobbler's kids have no shoes. You know, historically, it's an underinvested area, but especially in complex businesses like cannabis certainly can be if you're vertically integrated. You've got everything from cultivation, manufacturing, distribution, warehousing, retail, you know, et cetera, you know, e-commerce, you know, delivery, you know, you could see how all of a sudden this becomes incredibly complex and the complexity can compound on itself. And how do you cut through that and make sense of it to be able to have not only solid data from a transactional perspective that support things like your tax filings and position there, but how do you have it, all of those systems work in a way that gives you near real-time data to make the most effective business decisions. And so we were fortunate that we're a big Microsoft partner as well as Sage Intacct. As I'm sure you guys know, not every large software company out there works with companies and especially ones that touch the plant. Oh, yeah. And we're fortunate that our software partners do. And we were able to bring some best of breed solutions and then look also at how we integrate those. How do we take tangential systems or periphery systems and integrate them so we're harvesting that data into an ERP and making good sense of it for management teams to make the best decisions.
I love that. Can I ask one follow-up question?
Yeah, then okay. I'll do two.
Sorry, I normally don't talk over Javi because his questions are way better than mine. But I do just want to ask, when it comes to your work with a CFO, you just dove into what you all do, but can you give me a sense from your perspective, what makes a good CFO in the cannabis space? Like, give me like the ideal person working in this space, whatever that means to you, whether it's, you know, how they do their job or whether it's the experience they bring to it. I just love to learn a little bit about your perspective of what seems to be right now the most important C-suite position in a cannabis company.
Yeah, 100%. The best CFOs that I've seen in my, 25-year career as a consultant and then, in the last, 6 years working in cannabis, they're the ones that bring relevant experience. And I call that relevant, in a perfect world, it's industry experience. But look, 6 years ago, there wasn't as much industry experience. There certainly was from the medical side, but not more broadly like there is today. And so, what are those relevant experiences you bring, whether it be from food and beverage, consumer packaged goods, et cetera, to the industry? And most importantly, it's, are you able to drive your management team in a way that focuses on the core of the business and then eliminates the noise? Meaning you've got good teams to take care of that. You leverage advisors where appropriate, but really, really getting down to the business fundamentals to say, are we focused on what is ultimately core to this business, especially in today's climate relative to cannabis? Looking at, we need to sort of cut, sustain, and then weather the storm, if you will, to make sure we come out the other side well positioned for future growth. And the CFOs that are really focusing on the core of the business are the ones that I think are going to continue to be leading the pack.
Now, I want to go back to tech, and I have two questions for you. One is, you were talking about some of these partners, right? Like working with Microsoft. But many in the industry have argued that this is an industry that requires, a little bit of more of a catered solution, right? Like custom solutions for the cannabis industry. Where do you stand on software solutions, mainstream, out-of-the-box solutions versus these very specific like ERPs or CRMs for cannabis?
Yeah, no, I love it. This goes back to, this is the age old debate from, I'd be willing to bet if you go back, 50, 80 years when the first ERP was kind of rolled out on a mainframe and, you have the debate back then that continues today, which is, do you take something that is more of an out of the box ERP that gets 80% of the way there and does that really, really well? Or do you do something more customized, best of breed that gets you 100% of the way there? And there's a cost trade-off to each of those. The reality is, I think it's really a hybrid of both. And with the interoperability of systems today, being able to integrate, being able to move data, being able to push data into warehouses, et cetera, I think it allows you to do that in a more effective way. I think your baseline ERP from a CFO perspective, I think a lot of the, what I'll call off the shelf systems, the Microsoft, Sage Intacct, et cetera, do a phenomenal job in that respect. But you've got to take a hard look at your business to understand, number one, how are you capturing your requirements and they do in fit gap. Hey, can this system really do what I'm expecting it to do? Or, you know, is the sales team I'm interacting with conflating that a little bit? So really getting down to brass tacks and doing a really, really good job at your fit gap. And then from there, when something doesn't fit, is having that honest opinion, that honest discussion around it, saying, hey, this doesn't fit well here. What will solve this business challenge for me? And I think that, again, going back to your question, Elliot, around CFOs, the best CFOs I've worked with historically are the ones that can stare that down well. Anytime you try to slam a square peg into a round hole, it ain't going to work. And it's no different in this industry as well. So I think that is certainly something that the audience could certainly keep in mind as they're looking at how does their tech stack ultimately support operations today and where they're trying to get to.
That's fantastic. And I have the follow-up and then I'll let Elliot maybe close it up. But AI forecasting, please explain.
That's where I was going to go.
Elaborate.
Yeah, so clearly you've been doing your homework, because if you go to our website, you'll see we talk about a solution that we've rolled out recently, which is a 13-week rolling forecast that's enabled by AI. Really what we've done is, you know, if you look at, you know, good FP&A professionals in the past, you know, they're going to be, you know, leveraging various tools, techniques, et cetera, to be looking at a rolling cash forecast, which, you know, cash is so important in this business. Looking at a 13-week rolling forecast, but it could be incredibly manual. And so we've developed a solution that will take your banking data, ingest it, use AI to tag it, and then roll that into a real-time dashboard that allows you to see where you're at, where pivots need to be made, sort of where the alarm bells are going to start ringing. And it could be alleviating a lot of that manual churning that you would normally have to go through. All of that's being done on the back end by an AI solution now, which is pretty amazing to see.
Are Neil Hamilton and Ryan watching this show?
Certainly hope so.
So, Jeremy, yeah, I'm going to take this a different way then. Can you talk to me about your experience in other industries? Maybe Armanino's just experience in other industries. A dual-sided question here. First and foremost, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, cannabis versus CPG, cannabis versus tobacco, cannabis versus pharma versus alcohol. Which is it? Is it all the above? I'm curious, like from your perspective, from a financial performance auditing perspective, where does cannabis sit most similarly to those industries? And then, you know, just generally what's your take on this industry versus other industries?
Yeah. Well, my take on this industry is I love it. There's a reason I got into it. There was a reason I was passionate about it coming into it, is I think there's so much opportunity here. You know, I've described other industries that have been involved within the past as perhaps awkward teenagers. Hey, we're trying to figure out what we're going to be when we grow up. And I think cannabis is starting to enter that point. You know, when I got involved with it early on, you know, it was incredibly nascent from an adult use perspective. And, you know, it was kind of like this, it was the gold rush, you know, hey, everybody's getting in, everybody's thinking that, you know, the clouds are going to part and money and pre-rolls are going to fall from the sky. And certainly there have been periods of boom, and there's also been challenges. But you know, as an industry, it's one that as a firm, we're incredibly bullish on and incredibly optimistic for. You know, where do I personally, this is Jeremy speaking here, think it most aligns to? I think it still comes back to, looking at consumer and packaged goods. If you look at the flow from taking a raw material and turning it into something and then having it sold in a retail establishment, that most clearly aligns to what you commonly see in consumer and packaged goods, or a sub vertical of that would be food and beverage. And so a lot of things, the fundamentals around, you know, hey, how do we manage supply chain? How do we manage distribution in the most effective way? How do we manage forecasting? Then on the retail side, how do we manage our stores and cash collections, et cetera? You know, all of those things, you know, as we looked at coming into the industry, having less experience, like everybody coming into the industry, really, you know, hey, what are those skills that we need to be bringing in, cultivating, growing, et cetera, in the firm? It became really apparent to us that that's really what we needed. We needed supply chain experts, to get steeped in this area. We needed folks that were experts at warehousing and distribution. We already had a bunch of experts on hand that had run incredibly large scale retail organizations in the past. And then really looking at, once you pop the hood, how do you then make sure we've got people, process, technology, and data to support all of those needs that we know our clients are going to have?
You know, to close it up, I want to like look a little bit into your past. And I know you had some experience at Deloitte. That was one of the few firms, you know, bigger firms, along with Armanino and Ernst & Young, that have dipped their toes in cannabis. What do you foresee for the future in terms of the big accounting firms? What does it mean that these firms are in cannabis now? And what does, like, why do you think that the other firms are not in cannabis now?
Yeah, you know, we've had lengthy debates internally about, you know, hey, with EY being more active as well, and now Deloitte, you know, certainly if they're starting to come into the market, really, you know, through a lot of their operations in Canada, but if they're starting to come into the market, you know, they're on the sidelines. I also think that's an incredibly positive sign for the industry, where they have been incredibly risk averse in the past and saying, hey, we will work with, don't want to work with plant touching organizations. Some have even said, we don't even want to be working with peripheral components of the industry, et cetera. I think the fact that you've got two of the big four now that are more vocal, that are more active in the industry, I think it's a sign that, you know, this industry is here to stay. And it's going to continue to grow. So while I firmly believe we're the best in the industry when it comes to accounting and advisory, the fact that we've got the big four sort of, what I'll say, nipping at our heels and thinking about coming into the industry, I think it's a validation that there is a significant amount of potential to the point where they can't ignore this anymore. And they have to be looking at what are their strategies around it.
Jeremy, we really appreciate you being here today, man. Armenino, I mean, truly, like, you and a few other firms have, I think, matured the space, to say the least. So your work is very vital, very necessary, and we appreciate you all for what you do. Anything else you'd like to leave with our audience? Any thoughts on the industry at large or anything we didn't cover today?
Hit me up. Let's talk about how we can get AI to help you with your cash forecast and weather the storm together, and, you know, more good things to come for this industry. So excited for it.
Amen. Jeremy Sikarski, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate you, sir. Check out Armenino, armenino.com. Check out Jeremy and his work. Appreciate you again. We'll see you soon.
Got it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Awesome. Javi, I learned a lot from that.
Loved it.
I just got schooled a little bit. I enjoyed it.
I loved it, man. This is the end of my voice today.
Seriously, though. Yeah, okay. Well, Javi did say he's going to lose his voice sometime. This episode, we made it
You'll have to do a CCC promo today. bzcannabis.com. What's going on, Mr. Elliot Lynn?
Well, bzcannabis.com, we probably have one of the best agendas we've ever had. We have every major LP, every major MSO be speaking. We have Governor Pritzker, Governor Albert Bryan Jr. From Illinois and the U.S. Virgin Islands, respectively. Former Congressman Ed Perlmutter, former Congressperson Cory Gardner. It just keeps rolling and we keep adding. And what's really exciting to me is we're showcasing the next round of up and coming businesses in this space as effectively as we've ever done. So you'll see new opportunities. You'll see new companies that are nipping at the heels of these larger MSOs. And I cannot wait to put them on stage with these larger MSOs. It's going to be seriously amazing content. Check it out. bzcannabis.com. Elliot 20, ELLIOT 20 for a little discount code to get in there. But check it out now before ticket prices go up.
Big discount code.
It's a pretty good discount code, right? You just have to listen to the podcast to get it. Don't share it with your friends. You share the podcast with your friends and let them get the discount code from me. But y'all, do us a solid. Share this with your friends. Tune into Cannabis Daily. Share that with your friends. Head out to benzinga.com/cannabis for all your daily news. But with that, we're done. We're set. Have a phenomenal week and phenomenal weekend. We will see you in Chicago for our next event. Woo. See you on Tuesday for our next episode. Until then, peace.